Welcome to The Leverage Point,
a podcast about your development and performance at work.
Improvement doesn't have to be hard
or boring. This podcast is a pragmatist's guide to growth, achievement and success.
Discover your leverage point. I'm Angela Lane.
And I'm Sergei Gorbatov. We're researchers and practitioners in the fields of talent, human performance and behavior.
And together with you, we'll translate science into leverage points.
And today we're tackling a hot topic in management, using AI in year-end performance reviews. It's still the appraisal season and the pressure is on.
Oh, the dreaded performance appraisals. But hey, like, AI is here to save the day, right?
That's the million-dollar question, Angela. And let's get into it. Have you heard many stories about managers opting to use AI for year-end reviews?
Absolutely. I'm hearing a lot, Sergei, I have to say. And many people not necessarily doing it, I want to say, officially.
Well, that's true. We hear a lot about managers using ChatGPT and such in a clandestine way. But that's also changing. There is this example of a company called Confirm integrating ChatGPT for performance reviews using AI to aggregate feedback. The system ask specific questions to colleagues to aggregate feedback, which is then used to draft performance reviews. And this approach aims to address the challenges of traditional performance reviews and how the processes run, such as inconsistency, bias, limited feedback sources. Quite innovative, don't you think?
Look, it's a great point, and there's a lot happening in this space, that's for sure. Another example I can think of, and I'm not here to promote, obviously, anyone's solution. But there is a software called AMP. It's a performance management platform. And it's doing similar. It's analyzing data to save managers time. And then it generates a comprehensive kind of summary. This technology can analyze internal data, generate performance summaries, and help even in the goal setting process and creating action plans.
Yeah, for sure. Technology can make life much easier.
But here's the thing, the goal of performance management, let's take a step back, let's breathe. We can all get excited, let's breathe. The goal of performance management is just not making the life of a manager easy. The goal of performance management is really about enhancing performance. The goal of year-end summaries, evaluation, enhancing performance. And that requires a high-quality, unbiased evaluation. And it's why a lot of companies are still, officially at least, doing things in the old-fashioned way.
And maybe that's why so many managers and employees still use AI undercover. And of course, let's be pragmatic and realistic here. Much of that has to do with data security and organizational policies that must catch up with technology. But the question is, relying on AI for performance reviews, is it cutting corners, or is it a smart move?
Actually, I have to say, I think it's a smart move. The caveat, it's a smart move when used responsibly. AI is phenomenal in synthesizing a lot of data. It can shift through tons of information. It can pick out themes, and it can summarize, communicate succinctly the issues. Here's the catch. It's brilliant at summarizing information, but it can't assess performance for you. It's not, in at least in my view, in my humble opinion, not a substitute for human judgment. I still think that is ultimately, at the end of the day, the job of a leader.
Right. It's about observing, assessing, diagnosing, and giving feedback. Our good old performance management process. And that raising the performance levels for individuals, teams, and organizations. But that sounds like any manager's day job, right?
Well, it is, exactly. It is your day job. If you're a manager, if you're a leader, it's your day job. No one can do the thinking for you. And doing that thinking well, if you do that well, it actually is a differentiator, at least for now. AI hasn't replaced us quite yet.
So where is this human thinking required? Because AI is quite smart, scaringly smart, I must add. Performance assessment seems quite simple. Do your employees meet expectations or not? So where is the complexity?
Well, I think it that is definitely a component. You have to, at some stage, take a point of view on whether expectations were met. But it's more than that. As you decide the answer to that, you have got to think about, well, what is the view of stakeholders? What is the employee's perspective? How do they think they went? You might need to compare performance between employees, either within a function, across functions. You might have to assess whether or not there were potential headwinds or tailwinds that affected performance. And you need to be conscious all the time of the potential for unconscious biases. And that's tricky.
Yeah, the biases have been the center of debate whether AI is the long-awaited solution to control for those biases, or is it a mega amplifier of those? Because AI feeds on what we as human produce, and our products are so often faulty and full with bias. So what's your take on that, Angela?
Well, I think a couple of things. The first, I would say, biases are minimized when we as leaders, when we as managers adopt a structured thought process and discipline to how we collect and assess data. So if we have a structured process for that, we apply the same process between individuals, we reduce some of that bias. Secondly, after the data is collected, after it's aggregated, then it's going to boil down to that application of wisdom, isn't it? Applying what I know, my experience, in a meaningful way to allow for the context, to allow for the circumstances.
So is this about context? That's where human judgment and wisdom and taking a point of view really come into play. Like, you must contextualize performance in order to produce an evaluation and feedback that are fair. Because ChatGPT will produce something. The question is, will it be fair? And I don't think that AI is smart enough yet to pick up on the context unless you specifically spell out for it how the performance unfolded, what were the mitigating factors, those headwinds and tailwinds that you mentioned, the criteria that you're using to account for contextual aspects, etc., etc. And also on the back end of that cycle, in order to produce a development recommendation, you must take into account how long the employee will stay in the role, their goals for this year, their career paths, their preferences, motivations. There are just too many context-specific things that AI will be clueless about.
Absolutely. You are spot on as ever. And in all of that, if you really want to cut through and support an employee develop, you've assessed all of that complexity, you then have to very succinctly name what has to happen next. What is the behavioral gap that needs to be addressed? And if you can't name that, I don't know how you communicate it. I don't know how you coach for it. You can't expect it to be addressed if you can't name what needs to happen. And that's where clarity comes in. You need to pinpoint that opportunity or that gap, the one that's most relevant for the employee, given all of the circumstances, Sergey, that you mentioned.
And once you have that clarity on what's the most relevant and important for the employee to develop next, you need to break it down into observable, actionable behaviors or micro skills. And that's where AI can actually be very, very useful. So, Angela, remember recently we were conducting this training, and one of the questions from the audience was, well, can you use ChatGPT to break down a competency into micro skills? And we did that in real time. And the result was surprisingly and scarily good. Definitely, there are ways where you can use AI in different steps of the process.
Absolutely. And if you've, as a leader, if you have identified an area of development, you can certainly use technology like ChatGPT to say, okay, what are the component parts of this bigger skill? What are some of the things somebody could work on? And once you've got that, AI can help you again. It can answer the question, you know, how can you summarize this in a simple, clear way? But remember, it's not just summarizing, it's summarizing your judgment and your wisdom. That's the key.
Great. So I think that our conversation converges on the fact that AI is a tool. It's not a replacement. Probably not what many managers want to hear, but as things stand now, it really can help you throughout the process, but it won't replace your judgment and wisdom. And let's talk about our own experiences, our personal approach to appraisals.
So, well, I have to say I've delved in, I've used AI, and I've used it at the drafting stage. So I've done my analysis, I've done my comparisons, my calibration, but I was curious. I was personally curious to see how good would it be at summarizing my conclusions. And Sergey, I'm smiling because I pride myself actually on writing a good performance review. I kind of figure like I'm pretty good at that at this stage. But I fed my perspective, I gave my assessment, I included some examples and asked AI to summarize that into a review. And I have to say it did a really good job at summarizing and structuring the feedback, including with a lot of sensitivity. And I think one of the things I'd be looking for if I was a manager is to make sure that it reflects not only the content, but the strength with which you want to give that feedback. I think its default was relatively sensitive feedback. And sometimes, you know, we have to be very clear and straightforward.
Yeah, and I hear it more and more often, managers using AI to draft feedback and it turning out to be incredibly structured and thoughtful, and it highlights areas that might have been overlooked otherwise. On the sensitivity point, AI really takes the emotions out of the process. There is a lot of advice now on using AI in writing complaint letters. So if you got a bad product or a bad service, just lay out the key points of what happened, feed it to ChatGPT and ask it to write a complaint letter. And it writes a really nice structured and sensitively phrased ways on how to position your complaint in the right way, taking out the emotions. Because, you know, sometimes when we're angry with service or we're displeased with product, on the spur of the moment, we'll put all our anger and crossness into it. And then, of course, that will generate a visceral reaction on the receiving end. And that's not helpful. But what AI does really well, it positions sensitive things in a very respectful and structured way.
And I'm smiling again. I'm now wanting to get the wrong product. I'm wanting somebody to deliver me the wrong product so I can try AI as a drafter of my letter of complaint. So I think we're aligned. AI is a phenomenal assistant. But let's address a crucial point, but it perhaps may be the most significant consideration, and that's ethics. The ethical concerns associated with AI. AI needs to be used in a way that maintains that employee-employer relationship, that maintains the trust that needs to exist. What's happening there?
A lot and little. A lot meaning many conversations about ethics, and particularly when it comes to transparency, just because it's very difficult to understand what's going on in an AI because it's deep learning. You can't really figure out, okay, how exactly the information is processed, where there is a lot of anxiety and uncertainty about how that needs to be managed. And when I said little or very little is happening, we don't have yet a robust and conclusive research, academic studies that look into the impact of AI on ethics and equity and morality. But there is one study in the Strategic Management Journal that I would like to highlight. So the study found that AI-generated feedback was significantly more accurate and consistent with the performance diagnosis, as well as more relevant to the employee. So they found out that after feeding the information to a group of managers and to AI, AI was much better in writing performance reviews. So great news for both managers and employees, right?
I feel there's a catch coming. There is a catch.
When the employees were told that the feedback was written by AI, they reacted very negatively. So even though the result was objectively better for them than created by their managers, their employees didn't like that. So a mind shift is needed how we view technology in our day-to-day, and also some guardrails and rules and blueprints on how it's used and how we can increase transparency in the way how managers and employees use this new technology in the old established processes and ways. So it's about balancing efficiency with empathy. I don't know. Angela, what do you think? What can we do more to ensure that we're not losing the human touch?
Oh, indeed. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about my experience of AI and talent acquisition, where similar to the academic study that you've identified, a lot of benefit of using the tools, but in the case of talent acquisition, also some evidence that biases are perpetuated because of the way that learning happens, that deep learning that you referred to. So no substitute for due diligence in the search for a fair appraisal. But our point is always, what's the leverage point? So I think for us today, investing time in understanding performance relative to expectations, relative to others, that's where leaders have the opportunity to truly add value. But let's not forget that these tools are new, they're emerging, and they are offering some early promise for actually greater fairness and greater consistency.
Precisely. And it's not about what AI can do. It's about how we use it to enhance our understanding and provide meaningful feedback.
Yeah. As ever, feedback is the key. If we don't share what we find, if we don't share that wisdom, nothing happens. So let's wrap up. Remember, AI in performance appraisals can be a powerful tool for you. If you are still in the performance appraisal season, you might want to check it out in a thoughtful way based on feeding it already well-considered inputs, well-structured thought processes, well-calibrated data. It's all about, at the end of the day, our wisdom and judgment. That's what's going to make a difference.
Well said, Angela. And with that, we conclude today's discussion. Thanks to everyone for listening to us. Keep leading wisely.
Goodbye. And remember, in the world of HR, staying informed is key to staying ahead.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening in. Remember that small changes can lead to big impacts if you find the leverage point. So keep asking yourself, what's my leverage point?
To continue the conversation, share this episode on social media, like LinkedIn or Facebook, with a comment or a question to the wider community, and give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts while you're at it. Until next time.